In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 33 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Provo talking with James Lincoln, the founder of Goodly Growth. Goodly is a digital marketing agency helping local service businesses get more customers. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
James Lincoln, welcome to the Swell Podcast and the Kiln Road Trip.
Yeah, stoked to be here.
Thank you. We'd love you to just kind of kick it off by just telling us your name, of course, and what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, yeah. I'm James Lincoln. I have a digital marketing agency, and the goal is to acquire businesses. So,
excellent. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I moved back out to Utah when I learned about like this opportunity to go acquire businesses from people that are retiring. And, you know, these baby boomers have been running businesses for years and years. And profitable businesses that, you know, it kind of ventures away from the venture capital model of, you know, raising money and trying to build a business. Instead, these businesses have been making money for years. A lot of them don't have plans to give the business to family members, or a lot of times they're just going to shut their doors. And so there's this opportunity to acquire a business that's making money and continue to run it and build it up. And yeah, that's what I'm about. Came out here to do it.
Yeah. Where do you find these businesses?
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you've got like websites and marketplaces like Biz Buy Sell, and there's brokers that will get connected, accountants, you know, a lot of times the accountants will know like that their clients are wanting to sell. And then obviously there's just like outreach, right? You prospect and look for companies. My angle on it is just like, I've built up this digital marketing agency that's a cash flowing business, right? It like provides for my needs. I've got some employees, it's bought me a lot of time, and the clients that I'm working with are potentially acquisition targets, or they'll know some people that are, you know, acquisition targets. And worst case, it's like I'm working with the types of businesses I would like to acquire. So I'm building up a skill set and a team that can just jump right into whatever acquisition I end up making.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so once you acquire, so is the idea to improve processes or just funnel digital marketing into it in a way that maybe the business hasn't had before, and combine those opportunities?
Yeah, I think a lot of times with businesses that are running, you know, it's like, it's a lifestyle business. You know what I mean? Like they're making a couple $100,000. It's a really good living. They're like a staple in their community. They're not often like all that interested in growing because there's pains that come with growing. Yeah. Maybe they've tried to grow in the past and it's like too much of a hassle for them. So a lot of times you come into these businesses, you know, I think it's a little naive to think like, oh, I can come in and like do some digital marketing and like improve some processes and we'll make more money. But like, you get to know the employees, there's teams in place, right? So it's like, I don't have to come in and start from scratch, right? It's like, I come in, there's a team, they've got customers, they've got clients, they've got a reputation, you know, you implement software, right? Like I'm pretty good with software.
Yeah.
I've had a career in it. And then they obviously like digital marketing, sales, right? There's all the outbound sales. And so I'm looking for a business where it's like there's a platform in place that I can actually go in and add value to. And that value I think I can add is in sales, in software, in marketing, and just grinding, right? It's something that like maybe somebody's 58, 60 years old, they don't really want to grow it, but like I'm 28 and I'm like ready to grind. So that's the ideal scenario.
I love that.
Interesting. Yeah, we've not had anyone on the podcast that have done that. Yeah. I wasn't expecting, you know, people might not expect you said that, or creative agency or digital agency. Well, how did you describe the agency?
It's a digital marketing agency. Growth marketing, you know, whatever you want to call it. But we work with local businesses to help them get more jobs.
Interesting. I was going to ask what the background was that led you up to that. And like, how did you discover that really area to focus on?
Yeah, I started, you know, I graduated with my undergrad in 2019. I was like, man, I could go get a job as like an SDR, like making calls, and I'll probably make a little bit of money, but that wasn't that appealing. I was like, that's not my thing. I want to like start a business. So I moved out to California with my wife and was like, I'm just going to start a business. She got a job out there. So we had some money coming in, and I started a little software company. We'll call it, like, in hindsight, it's like micro SaaS. And we worked with local businesses, helping them get more reviews. It was like a really hot space at the time. Company did well, still is running today, right? We didn't exit or anything, which would have been nice, but you know, still runs today. We still like get a little bit of money coming in.
It, yeah.
Covers eating out and internet and phones and whatnot.
Yeah.
But in that process of like working with hundreds of customers on our software, you know, a lot of them were like these local businesses, and they just said like, look, we just want somebody to do all our marketing for us. Mm. And I was pretty stubborn at the time. I'm like, that's not what we do. We're a software company. We're going to be a software company. So when I learned about the acquisition opportunities and I came back to get an MBA, I was like, how can I make some money? And I knew the market, right? I knew these customers. Yeah. I knew how to sell to them. I knew what they needed. I learned a lot about just like general SEO, digital marketing tactics in the course of like learning how to start that software company and provide a service that worked. So it just was a nice little transition into it.
Nice. So anyone that just even just a step behind, right, or a few steps behind, you're in a position where you can help them get, you know, get to the next level pretty quickly.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
How many businesses do you currently own? Or have you acquired?
I haven't acquired any.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't acquired any. I want to acquire.
Yeah,
I've had a couple under contract that have fell through for, you know, different reasons. Always looking.
Yeah.
But I've got, so I own two companies, right? I own that original software company and then this company.
And this is what you're aiming to go out and do.
Yeah. If I could have, yeah, I'm 28 years old, right? In the next 10 years, which like, I think, right, from like 30 to 40 is like my best working years.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I want to have the flexibility to spend the time I want to with my family, right? Like I've got young kids
100%.
And I want to be around for them. So it's like entrepreneurship is a great opportunity to control my time. But like still that's 10 years of just like, I have a lot of energy. It's like, you know, you think about your prime in like athletics, right? It's like your body and your skill set, like get to, there's like a peak point.
Yeah.
I'm like, to me, that's like 28 to 35, 30 to 40, right? Like that's gonna be it. And so if I can have 10 businesses that I acquire in the next 10 years, that would be the dream.
You know, when you get to your 40s and your 50s, you also think that they're your peak years as well.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
By the way. that's funny. So I'm wondering then, you know, what are you doing right now? Are you facing any challenges trying to, you know, kind of make that next move?
Yeah. So, I mean, acquisitions are always a challenge, right? If I were to speak to like my current company, I'm trying to build a team out to like buy myself the time to be able to go and like look for opportunities. And hiring is always a challenge. I don't think I realized how much of a challenge it was.
Yeah.
We did like a little bit of hiring overseas in the software company. But here at Goodly, the name of my company.
That's a good name.
It is a pretty good name.
I'm
terrible at naming companies. I'm like not into it. And that one's kind of grown on me. So
I like it.
Yeah. I'm happy with it. So yeah, at Goodly, we've got 15 employees. We've got 11 in the Philippines and then 4 here in the US. And so hiring has been a challenge, and you know, you just kind of like cycle through to find the right people.
And
I could probably be better at it, but you know, it's something I'm learning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And so like, I guess what was the thing that made you think, you know, acquisition? You know, was there something, a specific moment that was like, this it, like specifically what happened that was like, did you hear about like a specific opportunity or was somebody else doing the same, doing something similar?
Yeah. I had a brother-in-law or still have a brother-in-law. Everybody's still married. and he got a business under contract and he didn't end up closing on it, but it was now probably two and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean you got a business under contract? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, tell me about that. And he explains this and you learn like how to leverage debt and buy a cash flowing asset that like is going to pay your debt and pay you. And there's opportunity for growth. it's like buying real estate, right? You buy real estate and it's, you know, you get the appreciation and that's awesome. You're leveraging debt to buy it. But in a business, it's a cash flowing asset in and of itself, right? So it's like, you can actually put that, like, there's not much you can do in real estate to generate more income.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's gonna make what it makes and it should appreciate over time. Where in a business, you can leverage debt to buy it and then actually grow it. Mm-hmm. And so you're appreciating the business and increasing cash flow over time. You know, starting that first company, I was like right out of school, really naive, didn't know anything. And like learned a lot in the process, but I'm like, that was hard, right? Like, I don't know if I could start another business today. And so I hear about this opportunity to buy and I'm like, that's like, it just like, it lit up in my mind. I'm like, this is the key. Like buy a business that's working that I can come into and just do a really good job at, like be a leader, you know, set a vision for the company and then just put your head down and work and grow and like get into it. And I'm like, this is unreal. Like, I can't believe this is an opportunity and people will give me money to do this.
Are you targeting like certain businesses, like $1 to $5 million or less than that? Like, what are you targeting?
Yeah. Traditionally you would, like, if you read the books, they say, don't buy a business that makes less than, or that's cash flowing less than $500,000, right? Like that's kind of the threshold, right? Where anything less than that, you're probably buying a job. And then the general range for like acquisition entrepreneurship tends to be somewhere between $750,000 to $1.5 million in EBITDA. My thesis is a little different. I think there's a lot of competition in that space. Financing options are like pretty set, right? You're probably going to go through the SBA program and get a government loan and personally guarantee it. I think that there's a lot of opportunity just below that $500,000 range. And what I'm trying to do at Goodly is build up cash flow so I don't have to take money out of the business. So it's like, I'm not buying a job because I don't need any money. I can hire somebody to come in and be a GM, or I can reinvest all that money into growth and like do the job and not get paid because I have money coming in that's covering my expenses. And I think that in that like $300,000 to $500,000, you know, cash flow, EBITDA, whatever you want to call it range, there's more creative financing because there's less of a market for it. Right. So I could probably get some favorable seller financing. Maybe I could even partner with the seller rather than, you know, an outright like 100% acquisition. And I think there's going to be even more opportunity to double it, right, than if I bought a company making $1.5 million. And like that takes a while to double. So, you know, I can get more value by doubling it, right? Getting it to that $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 range like offers a larger exit opportunity than you have at $300,000. And so that's kind of the range that I'm looking at right now.
Cool.
So that's your hypothesis then, you know, you're going to focus in on that untapped market that no one's been going after.
Right. And I'm sure people are there, right? Like there's always people looking for businesses, but
less,
there's less, right? And it's like, it's more work, right? But I'm like, again, if I think I can, you know, I built up a team at Goodly. I think I can build teams elsewhere. I can attract talent with the vision that I have. And as long as I have capital to pay them, right, then I can, you know, multiply my time and like go after other acquisition opportunities rather than having to be, you know, an owner operator per se, which is what people want to avoid. And frankly, like, I don't think you need to avoid that. Like, I'm happy to be an owner operator for a while.
Yeah.
I think that there's value in that.
Your hands dirty.
You get your hands dirty, you learn the business. People. Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's nothing wrong with that. And again, Goodly is just kind of like the cash flow engine right now. So I'm not, you know, worried about buying a smaller business.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a one-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Moterra Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Moterra Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Moterra instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Moterra offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomoterra.com/swell. That's gomoterra.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Goodly based out of Kiln?
It is.
Yeah. Kiln Provo.
Kiln Provo.
Yeah. Nice. So all 4 local here or?
We've got 1 in North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. And then myself and 3 others here in Provo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I guess 5 US. I'm not an employee.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But 5 of us in the US.
I got you. Yeah. And so this is recently opened.
Yeah.
How has it been so far? Like for someone like you doing what you're doing, what has it provided for you? Has it done anything for you? Yeah.
Yeah, I've loved this space. Right? I think that there's really good people here. You know, I've connected with some folks here and then in Lehigh as well. I was up in Lehigh, just kind of like floating around at a desk by myself for a little while before I hired people. I've really enjoyed like getting to meet people, right, that are here working and, you know, building relationships. I haven't had any like real opportunities come out of it, but like I've learned a lot, right? Like I've had some people that have opened my eyes to different business models. And so that's been really cool. The people here are awesome. You know, the staff is incredible. Yeah. Spaces, I mean, you guys see the space, right?
Yeah, it's like a
beautiful space. I think honestly, it helped me hire employees.
I can imagine.
If I'm like, hey, you know, here's this like sales job selling to local businesses and you like work from your basement at home. Like that's not as cool as like, hey, there's this brand new building in Provo.
Yeah.
Come check it out. We got an office here. Like it's been like a little, they love the snacks.
Nice place to go.
I don't know. It's been, been a good spot. I've really liked it.
Cool.
We at some point we're interviewing, I think one of the 100 is going to be from Rev Road. I'm sure you've met some of those guys up there, but
yeah,
I think they do something similar at probably a bigger scale, but they take businesses and
incubate them, not necessarily buy them out though,
but they certainly incubate and help them grow.
Yeah, they have a cool model. I know I've got some friends that work there and I've followed. I mean, they have events here. When I was in my undergrad program, they had events at their other building. And so they're a great resource, I think, for the community and certainly for entrepreneurs. I think they do have a portfolio company that goes and acquires home service businesses.
And,
It's like cool business model.
What part, I know we're going to wrap up, but What part did the BYU MBA, did you do MBA at BYU?
Yeah, still doing it. I'm almost done. Okay.
What part did that play in you wanting to buy businesses and help them grow?
Yeah, well, okay. I learned about acquisition entrepreneurship, right? I'm like, I want to go buy a business. And I found a golf course out in Virginia. And I'm like, man, this would be pretty cool. Like own a golf course, come on, right? Yeah. You must golf.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even a golfer, right? But I'm like, that would be a blast and I would be a golfer.
Yeah, lots that you can improve in the golf, course as well.
So it was, I don't know, maybe it was like $3 million for this business. And like, it probably wouldn't have been a good acquisition. You know what I mean? Like I found it online. I'm sure 1,000 people had looked at it and said, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But like the event space would be cool. My wife would be into that. So I go to my wife one night and I'm like, hey, I'm going to put an offer in on this business. And she's like, what do you mean? You know, like we'd like talked a little bit about it, but not much. And she said, no. She said, you need to go get an MBA. I'd always wanted to do an MBA.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to go get an MBA before you buy a business. So that was, I don't know, May 1st, 2022, right? Like being in May. And I'm like, okay, if I need to get an MBA, I'm going this fall.
Yeah.
And I reached out to BYU. Their application window had closed, but they let me apply. And a couple weeks later, I'd gotten in and that was that. So I came out here to kind of pacify my wife. Right. Yeah. Like she wanted me and like do something that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And having like the focus of I'm here to buy a business has made the MBA that much better.
Very targeted. Yeah.
Totally. I'm not like spending my time recruiting for like different jobs. I mean, it's a grind for those people that are like trying to get into Fortune 500 companies
right now.
And they're recruiting especially. And they're doing internships. And yeah, hiring is like down right now. And
yeah.
Where I'm like, I go to class, I meet cool people. I like learn good stuff that I can apply to Goodly and I look for businesses. So it was like a way out of Texas where we were living at the time and like a good exit from my job down there. So it's served a purpose and I've learned a lot and met really good people and, you know, definitely excited to be done with school, but
it's exciting. Well, our last question is,
so we ask everybody at the end, we want to hear your thoughts on what does it take to take an idea and create a movement. Create something that's never existed before, challenge the status quo. What would you say to that?
I mean, I haven't done it, so I'm not like the authority on that.
You've created businesses.
I have created businesses. Yeah, I'm not like the innovator in the sense of like, this business has never existed. My hot take is that that's a hard place to succeed, right?
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of proven business models where you can be successful and like make a lot of money and create a ton of opportunity. And like, that's what I'm about is like, I get to like create jobs for people that can grow and develop and learn and like have the opportunities that I would have killed for when I was their age. Mm-hmm. I think starting anything just takes a grind, right? It's like you got to be willing to be told no a lot, right? You got to be willing to have people that don't understand it. Like, I mean, still, like, there's people that don't understand why I would want to buy a business. You hear more than anything. If it's a good business, why would anybody sell it? I'm like, well, there's a lot of reasons to sell a business. So, you know, and I think just anytime you're creating something new, getting something off the ground, like you just got to be willing to sell out for it, right? Like, and not sell, you know what I mean? Like you got to be willing to put everything
mean.
That you need to put into it. Like you got to be willing to put it in. If you're not, like you're probably not going to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes a lot.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
Honestly, I mean, what's amazing about this, sorry, I know we got to wrap up, is literally a different answer on that question from everybody. Nobody has said anything close to your answer. And I love that. Huh. And I think when you acquire a business, I want to reach out. I'll probably have a couple questions for you.
Heck yeah, man.
It's cool.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.